The 32nd Gene Key. The 32nd transformational path moves from failure to veneration, and is the path of preservation. So this shadow is a contemplation on failure. What is failure? That's an interesting question, because I think it leads in two directions. On the one hand, we need to see that there's no such thing as failure, that what we perceive as failure is always a gift in disguise. It can be a revelation to us, even showing us a new way to freedom. And on the other hand, we can look at failure in ever-widening circles. There's individual failure, the failure of a specific endeavour. That's what we usually associate the term with. A business that fails, an exam that we fail, an attempt that fails. But then there's also a collective failure, a kind of social failure associated with the whole. For example, our human failure as a species to eradicate poverty or war, our failure to be perfect. And that's the kind of failure that brings with it a great deal of guilt. And then, of course, there's biological failure, the failure to survive. In many instances, we come to see dying as a kind of failure. And so we battle against failure. And it seems a very, very human thing, failure. So it's clear that failure is something that can teach us a great deal. Along with the 28th gene key, this 32nd gene key forms the codon ring called the Ring of Illusion. So it might be interesting to look at the connection of these two shadows. The shadow of purposelessness, that's the 28th shadow, and the shadow of failure. So lack of purpose and failure seem to be connected. That gives us an interesting avenue for contemplative insight. Is failure a missing of our purpose? To live a whole life without a true sense of purpose? To die without fulfilling our highest purpose? And what is our highest purpose? I keep asking this question. That's the great question of the gene keys. And it could put us under a great deal of pressure that we have to fulfill our highest purpose, as though there's something very specific we must do, and if we don't achieve it, then we will have failed. I've just completed writing and recording the Pearl Sequence for the Golden Path program, and it's a deep contemplation on prosperity. And one of the deep insights it's left me with is this clarity around higher purpose. And I've come to realize that the highest purpose we humans have is simply to live well. That's all. So if there's such a thing as failure on an individual metaphysical level, I'd say it was this, the failure to live well. And I think that's a place where failure can be a positive thing. So how do we live well? It's another great question. Well, let's look at the dilemma of the 32nd shadow. Every shadow throws us into a dilemma. The dilemma is like a nut we have to crack open. And the 32nd dilemma is panic. Panic is a subtle vibration that emanates from fear, from a deep forgetting of who we are. Panic and purposelessness come together. Panic leads us down the road of failure. And you might think of panic as a kind of manic energy, a rushing, reactive, frenetic quality. But I think it goes deeper than that on an inner level. Inner panic is about how we make decisions. It's about how we go about our daily life. Look back at your yesterday and be absolutely honest with yourself. When did you panic? Because panic was there all along, the whole day, a subtle undercurrent, a kind of anxiety. You trying to get through the day, trying to reach a place of rest or some kind of completion, some kind of peace, and did you ever find that peace? So for most of us, at best, we have a few moments in the day when we aren't actually panicking, where we're actually pausing to enjoy life. So look into this tendency in your life and see if you can slow down inside yourself. See if you can see the panic at work. You can see the panic of the world, how we rush headlong from one thing to the next. And most of the time without any real deep consideration of why we're trying to achieve a certain thing. And if you're following the golden path, then you're already taking time to contemplate. Then you're hopefully learning a new way, the way of living well, to savour more moments, to sip from the arc of eons, to revel in the riot of colour that's your life, to see the poetics of life, and not to pass them by. That's such an art, such an art. All the money in the world's not worth the ability to learn the art of living well. And at the shadow, of course, we forget what it means to live well. We panic. We move too fast. We live in an intense time. If you want to be different from the crowd now, if you really want to stand out, if you want to be a true rebel, then slow down the pace. Slow down the shadow inside you. Become a contemplative. Let others see the radiance of the river of your life as it meanders rather than rushes. Take your time with things. Be passionate, but don't be panicky. And then you're outside the loop of failure. And there's another place where failure creeps in our relationships, of course. We talk about failed relationships, but no relationship can really be a failure. It's simply a mirror of our tenderness, of our wounding. A relationship is something so precious. In many ways, it's the most precious thing we humans are given. So the only failure then really is to miss our higher purpose. Let your relationships move you closer to that truth. And be careful. There's a reason why we think that relationships that end have failed. It depends on how they end. If they end with graciousness on your part, then it's been no failure. If the other person can't manage graciousness, that's not really your concern. Your job is to live well, and that means to honour yourself and others. An ending is never a failure. If there's such a thing as transcending failure, it's this: to live without panic, to let life in. And sometimes that means letting another human being hurt you even, at least at an emotional level. That may well be unavoidable, but it also makes us stronger. If it opens us, then it means we're prospering. If it closes us, then we become poor. So failure can be a portal to many possibilities. It's really an illusion of our perception. But it's also very human to see things in terms of success and failure. It's a habit of ours. Shall we contemplate now what it means to succeed? The 32nd gift, preservation. It's an unusual word for a gift, this, preservation. I can imagine someone getting their profile and asking, well, what the heck does that mean? I have the gift of preservation. And you have the gift of imagination or totality? Yours sounds much better than mine, preservation. But as always with the gene keys, you have to penetrate them to unlock their secrets. And if the secrets weren't hidden, where would the fun be? So preservation is about continuity. It's about protecting the things we value. You preserve the thing that you love. And you can see this at the shadow frequency. Your panic about dying drives you to try and preserve your life through selfishness. So you try and cram your life with activities in the desperate bid for happiness. You unconsciously try and preserve your identity. But your identity is nothing but a dream. I'm not Richard Rudd. All the things that my mind associates with meanness, my belongings, my home, my family, my friends, my job, my lifestyle, my gifts, my body, none of that is really who I am. So what is it I'm trying to preserve? The gift frequency always describes an inner turning. It describes the field of transformation and creativity. At a certain point in our evolution, we realize that the thing that we've been trying to preserve is not the real thing. And in trying to maintain this illusory thing, this ego, this web stitched together by our thoughts, we're only really preserving our suffering. We're a dog chasing its own tail. And the great inner turning comes when the shell of our self-obsession cracks. We have to remember that this 32nd gene key is part of the ring of illusion, along with the 28th gene key. And illusions are here to be shattered. So if you have the 32nd gene key, your life story, your dharma, will always bring you to the threshold of this shattering at certain points. And the question is, will you allow yourself to be shattered? It's like in the film The Matrix, where you're offered the red pill and the blue pill, if you've seen that film. And the red pill will shatter your illusions, and the blue pill will let you forget everything and just go back into your illusions. So which pill will you take? And when we trust in life deep enough, we begin to trust in the events of our lives too. And we allow them to shatter us. And that is what reframes our view. Now we realize that this impulse to preserve what we love has a whole new field to live in. And the question is, what is essential? That is the great inner question. What needs preserving? How about love? How about truth? How about virtue? How about forgiveness? Pick a city. And the gift of preservation is all about grafting. You know, the strongest plants tend to be when you graft a young bud onto an old rootstock. So the 30-second gift is drawn to the old, the traditional, the ancestral, not in a staid way, but because there are things that have deep value from our past that are really worth nourishing for future generations. To create something of value, or to preserve something of value for future generations, that is the most wonderful way of spending your life. Maybe you take a piece of land and you nurture it and you beautify it. Like this wonderful story by Jean Giono, the man who planted trees. Did you ever hear that story? Sometimes a story can say more about a gene key than anything else. And this is a fable for the 30-second gene key and its gift. And the hero is a simple peasant living in an arid area of France where nothing grows and people are poor and wretched. And he goes out each day of his life and he plants trees. He plants them in ever-increasing circles around his home. And people come and people go. And still he goes on planting trees. And a lot of the trees die. But he just goes on planting them anyway. And the years go by. The war comes, still our man continues planting trees. And the war ends, and soon the new government arrive, and they realise that there's this big forest. So they claim it, and they begin logging there, and cutting down the trees, and profiting from the trees. But our man, the peasant, he just ignores it all, and he just continues planting trees. And by now, he's miles away from his original home, since the forest has continued to expand and grow far beyond where he started. And then the government falls, and once again the trees are left alone. And now he's an old man, but still he continues planting trees. And now there's this vast forest grown up, a whole rich ecosystem, and people are making all kinds of new livings. More people are moving to the area. The soil's improved for miles around. The trees have brought life with them, birds, wildlife, water, and all manner of plant life. Villages spring up. New communities with people who flourish as the land flourishes. And the old man goes on planting until he's just too old anymore. And then he dies peacefully with the sounds of the forest and its life in his ears. And no one knows who he is and no one knows what he's done except for him. Isn't it a beautiful fable? And that's the 30-second gift. It brings transformation. But first, you have to find the essential. What is your essential? What are your trees? What is your fable? What will you preserve for future generations? Think about this gene key. It contains one of the most precious transmissions of the whole pantheon. You see how far we've come from failure, from illusion, from panic? We humans have incredible capacity to transform the deserts around us into rich, flourishing oases. And one day, you know, the whole earth will become an oasis. So think about your life. Regardless of your own profile or whether you have this gene key or that gene key or any of that, just contemplate the fable of your existence. What will you leave behind you? What will your legacy be? The 30-second city, veneration. Veneration, another beautiful word, and not one that we hear very much nowadays. Where do you hear such a word spoken? I looked up its etymology and I had a lovely surprise. It's derived from the Latin word for Venus, love or beauty, veneration. the honouring of the beautiful, the essential, the feminine. It's also a word used a lot in connection with saints, the veneration of past holy people, which is a tradition in almost every religion. So this 32nd city has a lot to do with our ancestry and with our lineage. You see this again in the great traditions from around the world, this idea of the transmission of the lineage. It's quite mysterious. And the programming partner of the 32nd Gene Key is the 42nd Gene Key, which is about detachment and celebration. And these two Gene Keys have a deep focus on death and letting go. So if you have them in your profile, then these themes will be especially important in your life. You may find yourself working with the dying, or indeed with the other side, the birth, and with the young. Incarnation and excarnation. Involution and evolution. Invocation and evocation. Life is this breathing in and breathing out. A child is born, an old one dies. It's a chain, a living, rippling, sinuous, serpentine ladder. And our genes are a holographic depiction, a biological reflection of the great chain. You know, DNA is a ladder of lights. It's folded and crimped, twisted and twirled like a living ivy around the great tree trunks of our cellular life. It's funny how I keep turning to trees for these metaphors in this Gene Key. It's the tree of life, that shamanic bridge between the realms. And our DNA is that living cellular ivy, and our consciousness travels along it and through it. We're transferred along it like a sky bridge inside the body, and it connects us to our ancestors, way back through our mitochondrial DNA. This is how the shaman can contact the ancestral spirits when he or she goes into the trance state that allows access to the inner bridge. And you'll find that the shaman always venerates the ancestors. You know, he or she will always ask permission before entering a sacred place, whether that's an inside place or an outside place. Because at the more sensitive levels of consciousness, everything is animated. Every place, every moment, every part of the body, every event, every person, creature, stone or plant, it all represents a part of the great thread, the great chain of being. And the 32nd city has a great sensitivity to these things. It enters into the great interconnectedness of things. It also understands the power and mystery of lineage. Wisdom is such a strange thing. And by wisdom I mean the living transmission of the mystery, not knowledge, which is different and of the mind. Many people don't understand what wisdom is. It's the living spirit of truth. So when you hear it, or when you see it, or witness it moving through someone, it's unmistakable, because it conveys something intangible, something almost hypnotic. And where one picks it up and travels with it, then dies into it, it travels on, finding another host. It's like the ivy I mentioned earlier that needs the host tree, and we're the hosts for wisdom. That's why I keep calling the Gene Keys a transmission. And if you can feel or sense the transmission of wisdom, if you can feel your DNA expanding, responding, opening, then you are imbibing the living wisdom. And if you continue to let it in, it will become strongly entwined around you and you'll carry it on. The 32nd city responds to a lineage. The lineage that resonates the deepest inside your body. And then, if you're ready to be the host, then the wisdom will come and live with you. And you become a lineage holder, a guardian, a chodak in the Tibetan tradition. And you mutate the wisdom as it mutates you. And you become venerable. Because others see that the wisdom has taken up residence in you, and so they come to you to sip of that nectar. And it doesn't set you up higher than anyone else. We better be clear about that. In fact, the wisdom will put you through a very rigorous series of tests. If you're not able to surrender and be humbled, then the transmission will not be able to stay inside you. So it's not an easy business, this veneration. You have to learn to venerate everything. You have to embody the principles that come with the wisdom. It takes a lot of self-discipline. This 32nd Gene Key requires a great deal of self-discipline. we live at an interesting junction, and the various lineages are moving in a new way. They always used to require a living master to then pass on the transmission to the devoted disciple and so on. But now the lineages are crisscrossing, as though they have a new kind of network, a wisdom internet to travel through. It's as though underground springs are popping up in the collective gene pool, and suddenly a lineage arises in someone who never had a formal spiritual training. It's probably why the Dalai Lama suggests that there won't be another Dalai Lama, because the lineage is branching, it's opening, it's widening. And the only essential is the self-discipline. And it's not necessarily about doing anything formal. It's more to do with your ability to listen inwardly to the truth inside you. Because the real discipline is to pause. You have to learn how to pause and listen inwardly to life. Without that discipline, you can't really get anywhere at all. So veneration is a result of preservation. Veneration is something you discover at the heart of life. It's the quality you feel when you pause at a crossroads, at a branch in the tree of life. You're a part of a vast mystery, and yours is a vital life, a precious life, a delicate thread between the past and the future. So follow the gentle pulse of truth inside you, the higher purpose hidden in your DNA, and lasso that truth and ride it like a wild stallion out across the great plains and meadows of the world.